Chapter 3 Sir Talgrond found it wryly amusing that the Emperor's decree had neutered the Imperium's most potent weapon against the warp, at a time when it most needed it. He had no love of Psykers, believing that it would be in humanity's best interest to eradicate them all, but he was a deeply pragmatic soul, and the Librarians were a weapon that the 17th Legion sorely needed. Having seen the powers that were being unleashed against his armies and worlds by the War Master's allies, if the Emperor did not overturn his idiocy soon, then he was a prideful fool indeed. The city was spread before him like a map, rendered in three dimensions. Thick black smoke obscured entire sectors. The Librarium was built upon a rocky outcrop in the northern sector of Massilia, the highest point in a broad valley delta. It had been a site of pilgrimage long before the Ultramarines had made it a centre of training for those within its ranks exhibiting psychic talents. It had been a rich and populous centre, Massilia, built of marble, gold and glass, before it had been bombarded into ruin. Broken colonnades and fragments of statues lined broad streets that had become battlegrounds, littered with rubble, burned-out shells of vehicles and the innumerable dead. A few triumphal arches remained, flying frayed and burned pennants, towering over parade grounds and squares turned to graveyards. Trees and green spaces had been integrated into the city's design, though they were now blackened tracts of scorched earth. Two bridges crossing the river which wended through the city remained intact, the water below choked with corpses. Thunderhawks and stormbirds bearing the new Legion colours screamed overhead, churning the smoke and ash hanging over the city. From his vantage, Sir Talgrond could see the armoured elements of his assigned battalions moving through the secured sectors of the city. Rhinos, land raiders and vindicators traversed the rubble-strewn streets, leading the way out of the city before the heavier assets grinding along in their wake, the Fellblades and Typhons that had been so instrumental in the earlier action. The crackle of gunfire and the deeper thuds of shells and mortars still echoed out sporadically. Several of the eastern quadrants of the city were still not completely pacified. The fighting was brutal and taxing, as each building needed to be cleared floor by floor. Booms like thunder rolling in from the west could be heard when the sound of localized artillery and gunfire abated. A battle was still underway out there on the plains, beyond the valley, 50 kilometers away. He had already directed half his force to head there, to outflank the enemy assault. That battle would see the last real strength of the Ultramarines on this world shattered. That battle would be the last of it. Once it was done, the process of extraction would begin. All resistance within the system would be spent, and the final cull of the defiant human populations would be enacted. If any 13th Legion support ever arrived, they would find the entire system reduced to a graveyard. The crackling reports of his officers came through on Dal Ak's Nuncio Vox. All was proceeding as expected. There was a flash on the periphery of Sir Talgrond's vision. He reacted instantly, shouting a warning and dropping into cover. Too slow. Hot blood spurted across his faceplate. Chunks of it dripped down his visor. Araneth was down, his brains blown out through a gaping fist-sized hole in the left side of his helmet. The company banner was on the ground. Sir Talgrond seethed as he crouched with his back planted squarely against the marble balustrade. He stared at his dead standard-bearer, at the blood soaking the banner. Dal Ak was in cover beside him, relaying orders and the coordinates of the sniper's location. There was anger in his voice. The area had been declared clear. Sir Talgrond said nothing, letting his officers deal with it. He heard the clipped orders as legionaries closed in on the sniper's location. He heard the squad sergeant take responsibility for the mistake. There would be repercussions. They sat there listening to the vox reports of various elements of the chapter spread across the city, waiting for confirmation that the sniper had been neutralized. The pool of blood from Araneth's head was getting ever closer. He found himself thinking of his old mentor, Volkareth. The thought was not a comforting one.
He was a good warrior, said Dal Ak.
What? Said Sor Talgron.
Araneth, said the Master of Signal, nodding towards the corpse sprawled before them. He was a good warrior. I saw him rip a greenskin's head clear off once, and he claimed a kill tally of 17 Eldar at Halanex. He will be missed. His soul is one with the Empyrean now.
Sor Talgron grunted. You sound like a priest.
The teachings of...
Dal Ak began, before he was interrupted by the telltale click of incoming vox traffic. What is it? Sor Talgron demanded.
Third echelon, reported Dal Ak. They have identified the location of... Wait, repeat. Is that confirmed?
In the distance behind them, they heard the sharp crack of grenade detonations, followed by the bark of bolter fire in several controlled bursts. 230 meters off, Sor Talgron estimated from the sound. The sniper was gone.
Captain, third echelon have sighted Ultramarines docking at a concealed location, suspected communications outpost, said Dal Ak.
Where?
300 kilometers to the west. Shall I have the location targeted from orbit?
No, said Sor Talgrim. Send for my dropship.
Captain?
The enemy have conducted the defense of this world with considerable acumen and tenacity. I will not have the last of them obliterated from orbit. They will die as they lived, with honor.
Would they afford us the same respect if our situations were reversed, Captain? Said Dal Ak. Why does it matter how they die?
Sor Talgron thought of his old mentor again, and the fate that had befallen him. It matters to me, he said. The giant leaned on the table with massive bronze-encased fists. He was immense. All of the Primarchs were. But Sor Talgron had only ever stood in close proximity to one, Aurelian, the gene-father of the Word-bearers. Rogel Dorn was much bigger. Had it not been a secular age, the Primarch of the Imperial Fists would surely have been worshipped as a demigod. No mortal could stand in his presence and not be cowed. His face was as unforgiving as stone. His hair was snow-white and cropped short. His eyes were as hard and cold as diamonds and exuded a fierce, cold intelligence and anger. A deep, unforgiving abyss of anger that was palpable in his every movement and expression. The table before him was huge, carved from the dark wood of a tree long extinct on Terra. It was covered with plans, communiques, orbital scans, and data slates. The wealth of information was overwhelming, yet there was order to it. Nothing was out of place or unnecessary. The chamber itself was cavernous, austere, and sparsely furnished. There were no seats. One side of its length was dominated by floor-to-ceiling arched windows. From the view, it was clear that the room was positioned high upon the Himalayan flanks, above the cloud line, and while the sky outside was black and pinpricked with stars, harsh industrial light from below flooded through those thick, reinforced panes. A meeting had been underway when Tiber Acanthus announced him. Bureaucrats, politicians, guilders, administratum, Dorn dismissed them with a word. Few of them deigned even to look upon Sor Talgron as they filed out. These were the architects of the new Imperium. These were those with true power, and Sor Talgron loathed them. They had no concept of the blood, death, and horrors that those that had carved out the Imperium had known. None of them had ever likely stepped off world at all. One, elongated and skeletally thin and clutching construction plans and data slates, had looked down at him, his pinched face disdainful. Sor Talgron had stared at him as he left, hating him and all his weak-blooded kind. These were the ones that they had been fighting for. It made him sick. Tiber Acanthus had departed, pulling the huge wooden doors closed behind him. Two individuals remained with Dorn. Neither were introduced. One he knew from the time he had spent on Terra. Archemus, master of Dorn's Huskerl retinue. A stern, proud individual. His gene heritage was clear.
His features were strongly reminiscent of his Primarch's. The other was no imperial fist. His armour was plainly coloured and trimmed with a worn olive green. An officer of the Death Guard. He was completely bald, this captain, and a stylized eagle taking flight bedecked his cuirass and gorget. His eyes were stern and unflinching. He looked solid, in Saw Talgron's estimation. Dependable. Stoic. Who he was, Saw Talgron did not know, but he instinctively liked him. This was a soldier he could respect. The mystery of this warrior's identity had been forgotten as soon as Dorne began to speak. Now that he was done, the silence was heavy. For a long moment, Saw Talgron stared at the Death Guard captain, his brow furrowed. Then his gaze returned to Dorne.
"It is," he said at last, "it is difficult to comprehend."
"Believe it," said Rogel Dorne, his voice like rolling thunder.
"Istvan III will be forever damned in the annals of history," added Arcamus.
Saw Talgron narrowed his eyes at him. There was too much pride in the Huskarl's bearing.
"Four legions turning against their own. Turning against the Emperor," said Saw Talgron, shaking his head. "It is madness."
"Madness, aye," said Dorne. "Madness of the worst kind."
The Primarch pushed off the table, fists clenched. It looked like he wanted to hit something. If he put the full force of his fury behind it, Saw Talgron doubted any living being would have survived such a blow. The giant moved across the chamber, his advance implacable, each step echoing heavily and accompanied by the mechanical hum and grind of his armour. He halted before the windows, staring down the range's flank. A multitude of floodlights bathed the mountainside, throwing the vast construction work below into stark relief. The harsh white glow underlit his features, emphasizing the deep lines and contours of his face. He could have been carved from granite, so hard and immobile was he. He remained there, staring out into the distance for a time. The silence was oppressive. Both Arcamus and the unidentified Death Guard captain stared at Saw Talgron, unblinking.
"How did you learn of this atrocity?" said Saw Talgron finally,
breaking the silence.
"My augurs and astropaths have heard nothing from beyond the borders of the Segmentum for months, blinded by warp storms."
The Primarch turned and stalked back towards the heavy dark wood table, his expression grim. It took considerable force of will for Saw Talgron not to back away a step at his approach. It would be a terrifying vision to see in battle, this giant encased in gold coming at you with the intent to kill.
"The astropathic choir has been silent," growled Dorne. "We have heard nothing from the Istvan system since the start of this."
Saw Talgron frowned, but said nothing.
"Rather, I heard it from one who was there," said Dorne, answering his unspoken question.
Dorne inclined his head, and Saw Talgron's gaze was drawn to the Death Guard captain, standing silently to attention.
"This is Battle Captain Nathaniel Garrow, formerly of the 14th Legion," said the Primarch.
Garrow saluted, striking his chest with his fist in the old Terran tradition. Saw Talgron returned the gesture.
"It surprises me to see one of the Death Guard standing here, having just heard the tale of your Legion's betrayal," he said.
"It is no tale," snapped Arcamus. "It is the truth."
Saw Talgron glanced at him.
"A figure of speech," he said, before returning his attention to Garrow.
"It saddens me to stand here and speak of such events," said the Death Guard captain. "My ties to my legion died, along with my true brothers who were butchered on Istvan III for the crime of their loyalty."
"You are a legionary without a legion, then?"
"So it would seem."
"Garrow was witness to the War Master's betrayal. He saw my brother," said Dorne, almost spitting the word, "turn against the Imperium. Horus attacked Istvan III with virus bombs, killing untold thousands of legionaries loyal to the Emperor and millions of citizens. In the face of this atrocity, Garrow took his ship, the Eisenstein, and fought his way clear to bring word to Terra.
It seems that the Imperium owes you a debt of gratitude, said Saur Talgron,
bowing his head towards Garrow.
I merely did what I felt was my duty,
said Garrow a little stiffly.
Had the Eisenstein not broken through the blockade and brought word of the betrayal, we would not have known of this atrocity until it was too late, said Archimus.
Throne, said Saur Talgron. The Warmaster might have taken Terra virtually unchallenged.
He could have, said Dorne, but his ploy failed.
The legions killing their own? Civil war? A plot to dethrone the Emperor?
Said Saur Talgron with a shake of his head.
How did it come to this?
Through the actions of one man. Horus Lupercal, said Dorne. Horus was the best of us. If he could fall, anyone could fall. Which brings me to you and your battle brothers, Captain.